42nd chapter today. And I know I preached that before sometime or another, and shucks, the way my memory is, I could have preached it 2 weeks ago and done forgot it. But Psalms, the 42nd chapter, we're going to read the first two verses of the chapter and then preached just a little while to you this morning, probably not much over, not long enough that you have to start saying amen, Pharaoh. But have you ever experienced spiritual drought? Have you? Perhaps you're experiencing one today. Maybe it's been weeks or days, months, maybe even years since you experienced what you could call a real, since you've experienced what you could call a real spiritual experience. You know, sometimes it's that way. It just seems like we just keep moving forward because that we know that's what we ought to do, but yet we don't feel anything. We just have faith. And just keep putting our faith in God and believing that God's going to move for us eventually. A real drink of living water that quenches your souls and brings spiritual renewal is something that we ought to long for. A real spiritual drink of water. And I don't know about you, but every once in a while I want to drink from that well again. That well of grace, the well that just kind of, you know, renews me spiritually. And so that's what I want to kind of talk about a little bit today, if I can, for just a few minutes. I don't think I'll preach very long today. The psalmist was yearning for a God and was facing a spiritual drought. He was facing one. I believe God still moves in the souls of men and women, don't you? I believe he still desires for us, each of us, to be filled to the brim of his goodness, his grace, his mercy, and his power. He still expects us and he wants us to experience a spiritual manifestation of the Holy Ghost like never before. I know we talk about back yonder and back when it used to be like this and it used to be like that, but I believe God still wants to move in those ways that he once moved. I don't know why he doesn't. I think I heard a Sunday school class today. It's not that God has changed. It's more that maybe we have changed. And if we're not careful, we're in the 21st century. Yeah, a 21st century church. We've become comfortable. Being comfortable brings complacency. We kind of got to a place it's nice to go to church. We'll sing our three or four songs and sing them through several times sometime. But then we never really experience worship like we ought to experience worship. We don't, spiritually speaking, let our hair down like we ought to. And so we never get past that place of drought. We don't worship God like we should. Oftentimes we just kind of go through the motions and there's no emotion. So wait, Pastor, we don't have to have emotion to serve God. I agree with you there. I believe you don't always have to shout. And I know there's more than shouting. I've been in services and we've had services where there was a lot of shouting going on. And then I've been in services where there's some shouting going on and the people shouting weren't spiritual. I mean, they look spiritual, but they weren't spiritual. I mean, they had the moves, and they had better moves than most of us, but they weren't living for God. You've seen those type of people too. So I believe God wants us to have a real experience, a real manifestation of the Holy Spirit like never before. And so if you're experiencing what we might call a spiritual drought or a dry place today, hold on. God's still your oasis, and he still wishes for you to come to the life-giving water. Let's read our scripture today. It says, as the hart panteth, or the deer panteth after the water brooks, so pants my soul for thee, O God, for you, O God, in the New King James. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? So, and he goes on in verse 6, why is my soul cast down? Ask that question. Why is my soul cast down? Well, I believe God's still your oasis. There's a new Henson song that I used to like to hear and listen to, and I still do, but I don't have it on CD. I only have it on cassette. And since I only have it on cassette, I don't have any way to play it any longer. And it's not that old of a song. And some, a couple of these kids are looking around, what's a cassette? Well, it's not as old as an 8-track or vinyl. And I still have, I don't have any 8-tracks, but I still have some vinyl. And, but that song goes like this. Sometimes life is like a burning desert. If the days were miles, it would be a million wide. And one can get so thirsty for one drop of mercy, but all you find are bones where someone else has died. But God is still your oasis. In dry places, He still makes flowers grow. God is your oasis, and where His grace is, living waters flow. It goes on to say, the sands of disappointment, they sometimes steam the soul. That blazing ball of fire gets hotter by the hour. The dry, hot wind that burns us is like breathing in a furnace while the sun cooks up a supper for the buzzards to devour. But God is your oasis. In dry places, He makes flowers grow. And one can get so thirsty for one drop of mercy, but all you find in dry places He makes flowers grow. God is your oasis, and where His grace is, living waters flow. Amen? And I don't know where you stand today. I don't pretend to know. I sometimes think I know, but I realize I don't always know, and I don't see the heart nor the intents of the heart, but God does. And sometimes what I would suppose things that you do or say or act would make me think you're in a dry place. You may be in the best place you've ever been in your life spiritually. You just move and live and have your being in a different way than others. And you may express your salvation and your spiritual experience in different ways than others. But I know that people do get disappointed sometimes. And as we go through dry places, sometimes we wonder where God's at. And when we go through these dry times, we wonder, will we ever have a drink of water that will quench the thirsting in our soul? Will we ever get to that place again that we feel like raising our hand? Will we ever get to that place again where there's a dance in our feet? There's a clap in our hands. There's a song in our heart. There's joy in our spirit. Have you ever been there where you just wonder, will I ever get there again? Well, you will. If you'll hang on. You will if you'll hang on, because God's your oasis today. The psalmist was experiencing a spiritual drought, a severe spiritual drought. He was thirsty. He was longing for a move of God. He was hoping that God would come on the scene. He was longing for God to once again manifest Himself and His presence in his life in such a way that it brought joy, in such a way that it brought laughter, in a way that it brought dancing again, a way that it brought clapping again, in a way that it brought true worship again, in a way that it brought liberty. You know, our church needs liberty. We've been going through some tough times lately. This is the worst year we've ever had that I can remember. I understand I only remember a couple months back, but this is the worst year that I can remember for sickness in our church. I can't remember it ever being worse than what it is. And the severity of the illnesses than this past year, this season especially. So it's difficult sometimes to keep your head up. It's difficult sometimes to see God in all this. And so the psalmist was sort of that way. He was facing a massive spiritual devastation, and it demanded his entire focus. And have you ever faced that before, where you were facing a massive spiritual devastation? You it was like a nuclear bomb that went on in your heart, in your soul, and you didn't know whether there was any way to survive it. You didn't know whether you could rebuild after the devastation. You didn't know whether whether you could come back from this flood, this massive tsunami that happened in your spirit. You didn't know whether you could make it or not. But if you will get your focus on God. Put your focus on Him. It demands your total focus. You have to make a determined, conscious decision in the matter. Sort of like I heard a guy preaching about love, men love your wives. It's a conscious decision that you have to make. It's a decision. I'm going to serve God. I've made my choice. I'm going to serve God. I've made a decision to follow Christ, and it doesn't matter whether I feel it or not. I'm going to follow Him. He's my Savior, and He's my Lord. Can I interject right here? If He cannot be your Savior without being your Lord. Because a lot of people want a Savior, but they don't want a Lord. They want Him to save them, but they don't want to follow Him. They just want relief from the devastation that's coming in the end time. Anyway, well, let's move on. So you have to determine that nothing can quench your spiritual thirst for God. You may be in a drought, you may be in a downtime, but you're thirsty. And you're going to continue to seek that drink of living water until finally you get it. You're going to dig your well a little bit deeper. Yeah, you know, in the old days, they'd dig wells by hand and get so far, and they'd hit water, and that's where they'd stop. And eventually, during a drought time, the water table would fall, and there would be no water in that well. So what would they have to do? They'd have to dig a little deeper. Dig a little deeper in the well. Go a little deeper and find the water table again. Or you know, understand, they'd have to go move away and find someplace else. But you gotta understand, sometimes we go through drought. Sometimes we go through times of questioning of God, and we have to dig a little deeper. We have to go a little deeper in God. Go to some deeper depths in God. Go to that place where you once again feel the Spirit moving. And once again, you know that God's there. And that comes because you thirst for God. You are determined to seek Him. You'll crawl if you have to. You've reached that desert place, and you're crawling. You see God out in the distance, and your thirst is tremendous, and your body is crying out for water, and your whole spirit, your whole spirit man is crying out for another drink of that living water, but you haven't got there yet. So you're down on your knees. You've seen those pictures and those cartoons and different westerns. I like westerns, you know, and they always cross the desert, and for some reason they always fail to take enough water. And they get so thirsty, and their horses die, and they have to, you know, try to make it to the next water hole. That's how we feel sometimes. That's how you are sometimes. You've lost your trusty steed, and you've left him in saddle and bridle out in the desert, and your own foot and your canteen of water's down to one last drop, but yet your miles, it seems like you're spiritual miles away from help, but you just keep crawling. You keep moving towards the oasis. You know it's out there. You know that water hole's there, and you're heading that direction. Folks, we gotta keep moving. We gotta keep moving. If you have to crawl, crawl. You realize that that God alone, and He alone is the one who has the power, the strength, and the resources to get you out of this dry place. So you head into your oasis. You're longing for God. God, I need you. You'll never get there. You'll never come out of this spiritual funk, out of this spiritual dryness, if you don't recognize a need for God. Don't raise your fist up in the face of God and blame God for everything. Raise your hands up in adoration and praise of God and say, God, I'm going to serve you. God, I'm going to worship you. I don't feel nothing right now. I don't know if you're within a million miles of me. I don't know if you're high. I know you're high and lifted up, but I don't know if your eyes are upon me or not. I'm not sure my name's engraven in the palm of your hand. I'm not sure you care about any of the hair on my head, but God, I need you. And God, I'm going to serve you. And God, I'm going to continue to approach the throne of grace boldly until I receive my help. I'm going to continue to bombard heaven with my prayers until all of a sudden the heavenly rain breaks through. Come on, church. I don't know where you're at today, but if you're there, you can get out of there. Don't bring an umbrella neither. Let it rain on you. Receive it. Amen. You're longing for God. Participation in sanctuary worship is not enough. We're here today in sanctuary worship, but it's not enough. You can't get what you need in an hour on Sunday. You gotta long for God 24/7. You gotta approach His throne constantly. Because God's gonna come through for you. Your spirit man's longing for more, so much more. And you need more of His presence. You've had a sip of water, but you've really not had enough to satisfy the inward longing. I want enough that my inward man, I want to start drinking from the saucer. Because my cup's overflowing. I want to drink from the saucer. Amen. I want it to overflow. I want more than enough. When you thirst for God, you long for intimacy with God. There's another old Henson song. How many's figured out that I like Henson's? If you've been in this church any time at all, you know I do. It's one of the all-time favorite groups that I ever saw perform. And buddy, I didn't hardly miss a Henson concert in Oklahoma City, did we? They'd come in November. For years, they'd show up in Oklahoma City in November around my wedding anniversary. Guess where we'd go for our wedding anniversary? We'd go to McDonald's for a hamburger. We'd spend all of our money for Henson tickets. And we'd go to a Henson concert. Oh, that was good. Oh, that was the good days. My wife never did like my choice of restaurants our whole married life. But I ain't going to go there. She was too expensive. It says this, come to the life-giving water. For just one sip will save your soul from sin. There's something about the water that makes everybody long to come again. Amen? When you get a taste of this living water, you can't help but want some more. You can't help but want to drink from your saucer. You continually seek after God. And so the psalmist was panting as a deer would pant after water brooks. He was panting, or he was longing for more of God. He says in verse 2, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Just as water is essential for physical life, so God and His presence are essential for satisfaction and wholeness of our life, of our spiritual life. We need God. You can't live, you can't stay spiritual without God, without the Holy Spirit. True believers hunger and thirst after God for His grace, for His blessing, and His supernatural activity in their lives. I want more of God. I need more of God. I long for more of God. When I don't pray like I should, I become longing for God. And I'll finally take time to pray and bow my knee, and the Holy Spirit will come down and He'll begin to bless it. And before I get to my place of prayer, go to my knees, I ain't feeling nothing. I'm thinking, man, I might as well just go home. I might as well give up. But when I finally get past my flesh tries to fight it off sometime. You know, the flesh, well, I need to do this and I need to go there and I ought to go, you know, got to do all these things. But when I'll just say, oh, wait just a minute, I can't do those things until I do this thing. And I'll finally take time and bow my heart and my head and my knees to the Lord. And what happens? Heaven comes down. And glory fills my soul. And I know I've had a prayer meeting. Sometimes it's not a 10, 15 minute prayer meeting, but it's a prayer meeting. God has moved and God is blessed and the Holy Spirit has come down and He's spoken. I've spoken in unknown tongues, and I know my request have been made known in the right way and a way that pleases God and a way that touches God, and I can get up with assurance. Not only in my field, but I have assurance that the need's been met. Amen? I'm encouraging you today, church. Pray, seek God, long for a deeper spiritual walk with Him. See, to stop thirsting spiritually is to die spiritually. The Bible says they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. I think it's Matthew 5 and 6. Let's look over there and see. Before we go there, let's go to Mark. No, I'm not going to go there. Matthew 5, 6. Matthew chapter 5. And it says this very thing. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's the words of Jesus. They're written in red. If you hunger and thirst for Him, for His righteousness, you will be filled. It's a promise in the Word of God. It's one of the most important verses in the Sermon on the Mount. The foundational requirement for all godly living is to hunger and thirst for righteousness. To be hungry, to be thirsty for the things of God. Jesus come to the woman at the well in John 14, or John 4. And He told her everything about herself, and He knew she had a longing. And He offered her spiritual drink, spiritual water, and she accepted it. And once she got it, she wanted to share it. Church, we should long for the things of God. The requirement for God living is to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Moses was hungry for the things of God. The psalmist in our scripture today was hungry for God. The apostle Paul was hungry for God. The early church sought after God. They had morning, they had prayer meetings constantly. They came to worship constantly. They worked and they did their daily living, but they set aside time for God constantly, and they gathered together as a church constantly, and they had all things common, and they worshiped God. And what happened? The power of God came down, and God moved in their midst, and souls were saved. Lives radically changed. Church, we should be just as hungry. We're in the 21st century. We're 2018. They told us in the year 2000 our computers would crash and everything would go crazy. And here we are. I didn't have one computer crash. Life's still going on. It's getting crazier than ever before, but it's still going on. Jesus hasn't came yet, but He's coming. But He's coming after a bride that has their wedding garment on. He's coming after a bride that's looking for and longing for His coming. He's coming after a bride that is thirsty and hungry for the things of righteousness. He's coming after a people that's longing for Him. He's coming after a people that's seeking after Him. He's coming after a people that are full of the Spirit of God. He's coming after a church prepared. He's coming. This early church hungered for God. They were hungry for the presence of God. They were hungry for the Word of God. They were hungry for the communion of Christ. They were hungry for the fellowship of the Spirit. They were hungry for righteousness. They were hungry for kingdom power. They were hungry for the coming of the Lord. Their hunger for the Lord and for the things of God destroyed their worldly anxiety. It destroyed deceitfulness, and it destroyed their desire for riches and their desire for things, their desire for worldly pleasure, and they didn't fail to abide in Christ. They longed for Christ. They sought after Christ. They were hungry believers. They sought after the righteousness of God. They didn't want it to be destroyed. They didn't want to die spiritually. That for this reason, it's essential that we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. The early church was. Real believers are. Why do you think sometimes the church is empty? Well, Pastor, today it's because there are sick people. Yes, and I agree with you today, but oftentimes the church is empty and people come. I had somebody call me yesterday and say, Pastor, I can't come to this function today at the church. We had a party the family had a party for Sister Carol, and it had about 65 people came, family and some of our church, and it was a very beautiful party, and she cried and all that kind of stuff, you know. And But somebody called me and said, Pastor, I really wanted to come to that, but this has happened and I can't come, but I'll be in church tomorrow. Y'all know by the way I'm acting that that person's not in church today. But they should be. So how many others could have been, but aren't? Should have been. Oh, now you're getting ugly, and you said you wouldn't preach very long, and I'm almost finished. Somebody say amen, Pharaoh. You understand what I'm saying? The problem is sometimes we do not thirst for the things of God. We're more interested in the blessing of God. What can we get because we say we're a Christian or because we do this or do that? What is God going to do for me when God's waiting for you, waiting for us to do what we should do, to hunger and thirst after Him, to lay aside every sin and every weight that easily besets us, for us to begin to seek and long after Him and not worry about, you know, because He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about the things that you need in this life. He says, I care more about the birds than what you think I do. And so if I care for a bird, I care for you. I care about the grass of the field. So if I care about the grass of the field, I certainly care about you. And so quit tomorrow sufficient of itself. Quit worrying about tomorrow and long for me today and seek me today and follow me today, and I'll take care of tomorrow. Amen. So the psalmist was very hungry. He was very thirsty. And so we must also long for and pray for God's presence to be strengthened in our lives. We must pray that our love for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit will be greater. And I'm not just talking about just a good shouting time. Oh, those are great. I remember the time. I remember one time, and I didn't know it had ever happened for me or with me or through me or whatever the case may be. But we had everybody in this church, about 50 souls lined up at that night across the front. We had a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and all but maybe one person was slain in the Spirit. Well, I don't believe in that stuff. Well, if you've ever experienced it, you do. You ever had God move in that particular way on you when you said, I ain't going to go down? Oh. Woo, it's something else now when you're up there and said, I ain't going down, and the preacher don't even touch you, and you fall flat on your back, and you say, what in the world happened? What was it? A manifestation of the Holy Ghost. We need more of that. But it takes work. It's not just work. It takes prayer. And it also takes a longing for God to move in that way in our services. It takes us seeking God in the altars, and it takes us seeking God in our personal altars, and it takes us applying the Word of God to our lives and saying, God, I want you more than anything. The psalmist was that hungry. The one that wrote that particular scripture, he was that hungry. God, I long for you more than anything. I need you more than anything. I want the fullness of your kingdom more than anything. I want it to be deepened in my life. I have a heartfelt thirst. As the deer pants for the water brooks in times of drought, I long for you, Lord. And I'm tired of drought. It's time to dig a little deeper in the well. Dig a little deeper in the well. Amen? Amen? Amen. God is your oasis today. In dry places, He makes flowers grow. God's your oasis, church. Where His grace is, living waters flow. God is your oasis. Let's go back to our text today. The psalmist asks the question, verse 5 of chapter 42, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me, therefore I will remember thee. What did he say? What's the remedy? Lord, I'm cast down. I'm in drought, but I will remember you. I will remember you. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of waterspouts. All of thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. In the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Verse 11, why are thou cast down? Maybe you're saying it. Ask yourself, why are you cast down, soul? My soul, why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. Maybe you're without hope today. Well, the Bible says to hope in God. I will yet praise him for the health of my countenance and my God. I will praise him. You want out of this funk you're in today? You want to have some experience that living water again? Praise him. Praise him. Well, I don't know how to pray. Don't worry about praying. Praise him. Start praising him. And thank him. Man, I don't care how sick you are today, how down you are today, you still got something to praise him for. You got still have something to give him praise for. You got a reason to shout. Are you saved today? You got a reason to shout. Has he protected you from all kinds of things? You got a reason to shout. Has he met your spiritual and your financial and all your different needs? You got a reason to praise him. You're here today. You got a reason to praise him. Come on, praise him this morning, church. Come on, praise him. Stand to your feet and praise him this morning. Give him praise in the house. Come on, praise him. Praise him, praise him, praise him. With a loud voice, praise him today. With a clap of the hands, praise him today. Give him praise in the house today. Let him bless you today as you bless him. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, we praise you, we praise you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Today I'm coming out of this dry place. Thank you, Lord, that my needs are met. Thank you, God, that I'm no longer in a spiritual drought. Thank you, Lord, that you have met and supplied all of my needs. Thank you, Lord, that you supply them by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that you filled the longing of my heart. I thank you that you've saved me and set me free from the bondage of sin. I thank you, Lord, that there's a hedge around about me. I thank you, Lord, today that there's no plague going to come near my dwelling place. I thank you, Father, that there's no cancer, no heart disease, no diabetes. God, there's no type of plague going to come near me. I praise you today, Father, that your hand is upon my family. Your hand is upon my children. Your hand is upon my grandbabies. I thank you, Father, today that you love me more than you love anybody. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I tell you, church, if you're not thankful, you're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to get anywhere. You can't get anywhere feeling sorry for yourself. Start praising God and thanking him for all the good things he's done for you in and through you. Thank him for everything he's done. Now, he's blessed you so much. He's given you so much. You may not have what others have got, but you've got more than enough because you have a more than enough God. And God will supply your need. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love you. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Go ahead, praise him, church. Talk to him. Talk to him. Hallelujah, as the Spirit moves, talk in tongues. Go ahead. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise.